Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
You get the guns, the drugs, from my generation, I'll take the fall. The saints, and across the nation, and it's a sin. The guns, the freaks, the frauds, they're messing with me. Come on, let's get it out.
This is my favorite Raw theme.
I will say, anytime this song gets played, I will bring this up. It is my favorite thing about this song. This song was originally supposed to be Test's new theme song. They heard it. They thought it was, quote, way too cool for Test and made it the Raw theme song. And God,
poor guy.
God rest his soul. And he lost his, like, real girlfriend to Triple H. And, like, God bless him. God rest his soul. But there's the fun fact, they listen to this and like, oh, this can't be for Test. This is way too good. Yeah. We'll do something else with it. And they did. And they made it this was one of the best periods of Monday Night Raw. This is about 2003, 4-ish.
Yeah, around 5, yeah.
You know, right? So it's this is a really great period of WWE. A great period of WWE Monday Night Raw. One would argue we are not in said great period.
Statistics would prove.
I don't think historians will look back on this as a high point in the history of the program. The ratings certainly won't. And of course, we will talk about the fact before you even say it. We'll go ahead and preface the argument with, I know the traditional television ratings are changing, and it's the summer. There.
Right.
I already said it. So don't freak out.
Yeah, right.
When we have the conversation about ratings,
well,
and the people that can't just admit that WWE might not be perfect, I understand that it's July. It's July 11th, by the way. Yesterday was the 10th. Was that a special day?
Maybe.
Was that a special day for any
reason? Maybe it was.
Really?
Somebody's birthday. I forget who, though.
It was somebody's birthday. I turned 21 years old. Are you not excited for me?
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. I turned 21.
I know America's birthday was a week ago.
When Bill Goldberg won the WCW championship, I was 1 year old. I was a year old.
Congratulations.
It was one. Thank you.
How do you possibly remember that?
I was
you Goldberg's guest at that too?
I was his personal guest. I was under the ring. And they had a closed circuit TV and I heard everything, and it was just an honor to know that I was mere boards and canvas away from the history itself.
Did you take pictures under there like Dijak?
I didn't, because cell phones didn't exist.
Yeah, but cameras did.
That's true.
But it was a film camera.
It was also that period where you took the picture and then it sat on a windowsill never to be actually developed. You know what I mean? It was that wonderful period of prehistoric times. But Monday Night Raw, and we'll talk about in all sorts of things tonight, because it's not, because the show is not going to be an hour and a half of Raw's bad and I don't like Raw, and don't get me wrong, Raw is bad.
Yeah.
But we're going to try to fix it.
Yeah, we want to get back to war, not bad.
And we're going
to
talk about other things out there that aren't Monday Night Raw that are very, very good. And there's all sorts of things happening in wrestling right now that's good And we're going to talk about those things because wrestling is good. And let's focus on that. If it's your first time joining us, if you click some links, if you saw like, hey, I also think Raw could be significantly better. Thank you and welcome. If you're a veteran of the New Age Insiders experience, we see you listening out there live. Danny and Jedi and Ed and Maddie and Charisse and Charisse. I'm just like reading up Elise and say, yeah.
It's formal now.
It's Reese. Yeah, Charisse. It's a beautiful name either way. Yeah. Reese, Charisse, whatever you prefer. It's a beautiful name. Justin, Brandon, we see you guys. Everybody else, there's more people than that. There's a list. Listening live for a reason. We are live because we want you guys to be part of this show. We are live on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, which we encourage you to be watching every Wednesday night live at 8 o'clock on Twitch. You can find us on iTunes, Podomatic, Glork Normal, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. If you can't listen live Wednesday night at NewAgeInsiders.com, and we encourage you to, like we said, jump into the experience 7 days a week. We craft these shows around you and like to bring up as many fan points as humanly possible to make the New Age Insiders experience one experience, almost as if we are one NAI. My name is Jason Maltov.
I'm Liam Strager.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, including during this broadcast, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. We are live on NewAgeInsiders.com as well as twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. Make sure you're clicking those likes and follows on Facebook, Instagram, subscribe on YouTube. Some great content is coming. This week we have a NewAgeInsiders.com exclusive interview with the founder of Chikara Pro, Mike Quackenbush.
The head trainer at the Wrestle Factory.
Exactly. Somebody who's really influential in the world of pro wrestling, talking about Chikara, talking about the bigger landscape of independent pro wrestling. It was a lot of fun to sit down and talk to Mike, and we really think you guys are going to enjoy that. You can find that over on NewAgeInsiders.com a little bit later this week, and make sure you check them out Saturday at Clan Feuds. You can go to ChikaraPro.com for tickets as well. And all together in the grand world of wrestling, including Chikara Pro, we are the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. And as we open the show with Monday Night Raw for a reason, and shout out to Nick Bellinger, am I right?
You had
a good time with Nick Bellinger on Monday.
Yeah, of course we did.
Don't want to forget that.
Yeah, we were at Monday Night Raw. We met Nick way back in New Orleans right before
came
NXT.
To the tailgate.
Came to the tailgate. He was on our NXT pre-show before the best takeover to ever take over.
New Orleans.
Yeah. That was better than Brooklyn. But,
one day we'll rank those.
He had a box. And we went inside that box.
What was in the box?
Yeah, it was us. He invited us on up, and it was awesome. We got to see him and some of his friends, and it was really cool and really nice of him. He didn't have to do that. So it was a really cool experience. I also need to shout out somebody. And I know you listen to this show because I saw you wearing the NWO-inspired NAI shirt.
Yep.
And for those of you who are like, what's that? Well, you can go to represent.com and you can pick that up.
NewAgeInsiders.com has it too. It's all right there.
Right. It's all right there. You can go check it out and you can buy it. But I know this person didn't buy that because I get emails about what shirts get sold. Right. And so the person that has this was a part of a pre-order sometime 2 years ago.
Cool.
And if you're going to wear a New Age Insider shirt to a wrestling show, then you like this show, and I appreciate you, and you're amazing.
You might very well be listening.
And you are listening.
Or you got the shirt from somebody, and we appreciate it all the same.
Yes. So, after the show, I am leaving.
It's the after party.
After the show, it's the after party, and after the party, it's the hotel lobby.
Yep.
And round about four, you have to clear the lobby.
Yeah, you don't want to do anything in a hotel with R. Kelly.
No.
Ever, ever.
Ever, ever. But we are walking, and I see the shirt, and I walk up, and I go, hey, I really like your shirt, man. And I shake his hand.
Uh-huh.
And he looks at me like I had 12 heads.
Yep.
Because he had no idea who I was. And again, I was in like a Marvel t-shirt, so I didn't even have an NAI shirt on.
Good.
So it's like, I don't think it ever clicked. But he got so weirded out and was just like, yeah, man, the show's like really good. And then just like wandered off into the crowd. So if you were that person, this misconnection goes out to you.
Maybe you and your beard gave off a very stabby kind of vibe.
Yeah,
he was,
I know,
just like, I'm just gonna leave
because of that serial killer that hangs out around the garden.
Somebody's killing people in the city of Boston. You can Google it. It's like a real thing. But yeah, you know what I found out? Yesterday was my birthday.
Yep.
And I found out it was Gilbert's birthday.
No.
Yes.
You and Gilbert share a birthday?
I shouldn't have said that out loud to the people, but yes, Gilbert was born also on July 10th, which was, I'm gonna admit, man, I'm gonna say it right now out loud, a significant bummer.
Well, see, I actually don't think it's a bummer.
Oh, do you really? Because I had a tough day yesterday anyway. Like, I just had a tough day.
Yeah, because you're having some sort of weird existential crisis about your birthday.
No, it was just, it was just, yesterday was a tough day. Okay. And then people were like, hey, how you doing, man? Did you also know it's Gilbert's birthday? I'm like, that just made it so much worse. Like, my day, like, just what, like, of all the people in the world, I cannot escape Gilbert. They didn't even give him a first name, right? It wasn't
Will Gilbert.
Was it Will Gilbert? God damn. That dude, did you look it up? It's July 10th.
Yeah, I saw it.
But the thing is that just gives you another connection to Goldberg.
Yes and no. I mean,
yeah, no, definitely because Dwayne Gill is not a thing.
What?
Dwayne Gill isn't a thing if Goldberg doesn't exist.
Well, not anymore. I mean, that's right. Yeah.
Right. But
his career renaissance as the light heavyweight champion based on, yeah, I mean, that definitely.
But that's the thing. It's like you, that's the connection.
I want to like Goldberg because there's something about like laughing at yourself and laughing at your favorites. And we encourage that all the time.
Yeah.
Because there's just, you know, you gotta, if you can't laugh every once in a while at the things you like, you're going to eat yourself alive. But it's like, oh, then there's Gilbert, and that is just, it's tough. Do you remember Gilbert's first win?
It was the night Goldberg lost.
It was the night after.
Or after. It was the night after Goldberg lost.
Goldberg lost at Starrcade, and so the next night, Gilbert beat Goldust.
Yeah.
And then, you know what happened? It was on Monday Night Raw, and I don't know the record books of late December 1998 Monday Night Raw, but I can tell you for a concrete fact, Liam and Bill, that late December edition of
was
Monday Night
higher
Raw
rated
than the one that we had this week,
which is depressing because I was there.
It wasn't
great.
When it got to be like 6:30, 7 o'clock, I started to be like, oh man, I kind of wish I went. And then the show started and it got to be like 8:30. I'm like, oh man, I'm so glad I didn't go. So there's something to be said about being there live, and you two were there, so that obviously adds a perspective of being. You can now say that at least for a moment in time until they suck harder, you were at the lowest rated Raw, the history of Raw. So, again, I'm going to say it like I did in the beginning.
That's fun.
Yeah, well, it's something. It's like obviously you strive to get the best of something, but there is sort of this weird polar opposite trophy of getting the worst of something.
Right, exactly.
Because it's the other end of that spectrum.
Right.
But anyway, Monday Night Raw, again, I'll say it because I said it in the opener, and it's fair, and it's something that we need, and Jedi with the Gilbert chance. I will strangle you through this telephone wire, sir.
the internet connection.
Yeah, right. There's something to be said about the fact
that Brandon Banks does bring up a good point in the chat here on Mixler, is you could share a birthday with Ryback.
Yeah, see, that would I would never have told you if I found out that to be true. I would bury I would lie about my birthday moving forward.
Now I have to Google Ryback's birthday just to make sure.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Please,
if it's a week.
Oh God.
It is the 10th.
No, it's
of
not.
November.
Oh my God.
The panic, it's set in.
I would just like to know that in a world of multi-dimensional possibilities, Ryback and I did not find ourselves on this earth at the same time. Holy crap. that really made me nervous because I don't want to have the same Ryback. I don't want to have the same Ryback as birthday. I don't. I do not want to have the same Ryback as birthday. But Raw, right? Here we are. We've hit a point where, like I said, it's July, so it's the summer. No one's ratings are great. It's July. It's the summer. Gotcha. My counter to that would be, it's the summer. It's July. Your ratings might not be as good as they usually are, but they should be strong compared to the other shows that are also dealing with the fact it's summer and maybe not even airing new episodes.
Right.
Here's the thing. Your ratings can dip. It can't be historically bad.
Yeah, the lowest.
It can't be the lowest, right? Because you're right. It's summer. It's July. At least up here in the Northeast, we've been dealing with like a heat wave. So it's nice out. You know, at least in the you know, in our area, there's like the patios are open. So people are going out and drinking and hanging out on the patios and getting dinner later because the sun's out and, you know, it's nice out. And so people aren't inside watching Raw. And yeah, again, like we can talk about how like people have no idea what ratings actually are. And we can go through that where it's like every TV doesn't count for ratings.
Right.
You have to be a Nielsen family, which means you have a special cable box or an attachment to your cable box. And your viewing habits are basically calculated for what everybody in your area is watching.
Correct.
Right? So it is not an exact science, and so people put too much weight behind the ratings, but at the same time, yeah, man, like, if you're historically bad, you know, the projection was like 2.4 million people, and it's like, that's not good.
Yeah, so what you've got to kind of look at it is, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but what you kind of, I think you have to do is compare Raw in July of 2018. Well, what was Raw's ratings in July of 2017 right. and 16? Because without having that in front of me, I mean, was this a slight dip that just technically made it the lowest rated? Did they plummet in a year? Because here's the thing about WWE. Where to begin? We've talked about this where, because they are now doing Miz and Mrs. and Ride Along and NXT and 205 and straight to DVD movies and appearances and travel and country expansion, the average Raw suffers because you're putting all that brain power everywhere else. And then I think, without exaggeration, there's that old expression in sports where if a team goes out there and you could tell they didn't try, it's called just rolling the balls out.
Right.
Where they just went out there and went through the motions, the whistle blew and the game ended, and they didn't try. I used to think that it was an over-exaggeration if you said that the average Raw didn't try its best.
Right.
Now, it's another argument altogether that if you try your best and still aren't good, that's not great either. But I think people find it to be more admirable to try and suck than to not try.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the frustrating thing here is now I don't think it's like internet marky smarky to say, I'm not sure they're trying that hard. And that is really because knocking Kevin Owens off in with a porta potty being the only memorable part of a 3-hour show, to me, that it reeks of effort.
Right. Well, and, you know, we talked about this with Mike Quackenbush, who you can find on newageinsiders.com with that interview that we just put up. And go and listen to it. But one of the things that he says is that, and it's not a better or worse thing, but he talks about how Chikara has had one writer for all 19 seasons. That means that there's one creative vision that has been writing this show since day one. And WWE isn't like that. They have a staff of writers that are constantly being replaced. And I think that that format is really starting to catch up with them.
Sure.
In a world where, and I've said it before, and I've said it on this show before, I've said it on this show countless times before, that you're not evolving with television. Television is smarter than it used to be. People care about long, thought-out dramas that have character development and character depth and arc. And, you know, there's just so much to sink your teeth into. And WWE refuses to evolve in that aspect. And it's really catching up with them because it's like, you're just trotting Roman Reigns out there.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't...
No, I know, but they're trotting everybody out. Finn Balor is now a guy that goes out there and stands next to Bo Dallas and breaks up fights. Finn Balor's doing that. Balor's the go out there and break up the fight guy. So no, everybody's treading water. No one's doing anything. One note I want to make is that there is history being made. Pav is listening live for the first time.
Yeah, from the UK.
Now, this is going to sound... I know this is going to make some people maybe just roll their eyes right away, right? But knowing that nothing is apples to apples in wrestling, and it's 20 years ago, and et cetera, whatever, right? So no, I'm not going to say that this is going to be an exact same scenario duplication, oh my God, right? But bear with me. Around 1996, fans had really started to check out of the WWF, right? Bland stories, characters they couldn't invest in, match quality that was usually pretty low because you had guys main eventing like Sid, you know what I mean? And even Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels couldn't quite save them from the 95 blues, at least, you know what I mean? And so, but all of a sudden, a group forms in this other company and makes everybody stand up and care about what's happening over here.
Yep.
Right? And now, if you look into, if you look at it, right, there's a group in New Japan that people care about a lot, and now they're making news, and they're make it's more accessible than it's ever been before. Now, it's not also on Monday night. It's not on every Thursday night.
Right.
It's not weekly episodic, right? But we're going to talk tonight about good things. Everybody's like, y'all got on Jedi in 30 minutes. No, we didn't. We mentioned Roman Reigns. Everybody relax. He's part of this show. That's not it.
Yeah.
Saying Roman Reigns isn't is saying Roman Reigns is part of a multi-tiered problem is not an attack. And everybody's got to chill out.
Yeah. Also, you're the top guy on a show that's not doing well.
How about that? Is it not fair to say that the top guy in a story built around and everybody's going to go, well, it's all about Brock. Brock is all about Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that tonight. We're going to talk about the good things and good alternatives and positives that might come out of this programming. I'm just going to say, if you need to hear it for the record, I am not blaming the ratings on Roman Reigns. I'm telling you, though, that Roman Reigns is the top dude on the lowest rated Raw in the history of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Okay? That also did happen. But neither here nor there to the fact that over here's the Bullet Club.
Right.
And the Bullet Club is like, we're doing
awesome things
and compelling, riveting things with people you like and people you care about. Is that going to kick them into gear?
Well, it's like, and I talked about this last night. I don't know how many people actually watch Being the Elite, but goddamn, guys, you have to watch Being the Elite because it's transformed the way that at least their group of friends, their group is looked at in independent wrestling, because every show they do has a through line now. So them wrestling all over in all these different places has this through line. And last week, basically at the end of the episode, I think it was Nick or Matt, I don't know, one of the Bucks, his
last name is Jackson.
Yeah, he's Jackson. His eyes rolled in the back of his head, and when he got that, when he like came to, he was like, something bad's about to happen. Well, it was a premonition for Tama Tonga and Tongaloa getting the crap out of everybody, right? And so then in this week's episode of Being the Elite, we get to see pictures about how during the end thing before it happened, that one of them has the eyes rolling in the back of the head, and you're looking at it, and it's just like, wow, guys, your attention to detail and changing the game. You're changing how wrestling storylines are being told.
Yep.
And people are investing. People are buying the shirts. People are going to the shows.
And Brandon and Jedi, I'm sorry for yelling. I just get mad because I'm starting to get, like, a whole new level of pissed off about this Brock Lesnar thing. Because then I see Brock on UFC cutting promos, and it's like, you're not using him at all.
Right.
Just so I'll hate him, so somebody can beat him, and I'll maybe cheer by default. And I miss Lesnar. Like, I miss the belt. I miss the guy. One of the reasons I defend Lesnar so much is because I really, really enjoy his matches. And now he's just gone. And Raw is suffering, like, tremendously for it. And the thing is about, you know, you mentioned, you know, being the Elite and incorporating, and you're right. And those are things that, like, you know, the hardcores are looking for. And then you look at even, like, whatever in the world a casual New Japan wrestling fan is, they even care, because basically this is going to be the Bullet Club Civil War.
Right. Well, and that's the thing too, is that that's the extra coat of paint for the people that really care, because New Japan is also doing a great job of telling you a story in New Japan about everything that's going on. So you don't need Being the Elite to fill in the rest of the gaps because New Japan is doing great telling a story on their own.
What do you think of the Bullet Club split? What do you think of what happened at G1? What do you think about the fact that it's going to, what are they, the Firing Squad?
The Firing Squad.
Versus what's probably going to be called the Elite.
And yeah, and it's interesting. It's really interesting because I've been talking about it for weeks where it's like you have Cody and Kenny who've been bickering about the leader of the Bullet Club for a year, basically. And I've been saying this for about a year. Tama Tonga should have an issue with that. He is, outside of Bad Luck Fale, he is the longest tenured member of the Bullet Club. Bad Luck Fale was, he came in with Prince Devitt.
Sure.
So it was him, Devitt, Gallows, Anderson, right? And so then it's like Tama Tonga was right there right after that.
Yeah, and they're great.
And so it's like, yeah, I bet that guy who every way I've been presented, you know, yeah, you should be mad about this leader bullshit.
Right.
Because
I also think that the great story that I think is being told here, too, is that so it's an extension of what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's this leadership fight, right? And so this guy who's like, let's just say Kenny Omega is the leader of the Bullet Club. Well, he's like the third or fourth one.
Right.
Let's say it's Cody. He's also either the third or fourth one.
Yeah.
Are y'all planning on firing me? Because if you're gonna fire me or not acknowledge me, like, yep. one of the great things, and I really hope it's storyline driven, and I bet you because Cody Rhodes is so goddamn smart, it is storyline driven.
Yep.
How come Tama Tonga, how come the Gorillas of Destiny aren't booked for All In?
Yeah.
Aren't those your boys?
Right.
Why wouldn't the first people announced be the Bullet Club guys?
Right.
And if I'm Tama Tonga, right, whether or not it was a plan or not or an oversight or whatever, yo, you're fighting for leader of the Bullet Club. I'm leader of the Bullet Club. You're giving all your buddies a shot at All In and not me. If you think you get to fire me from the thing I started,
right,
you're wrong.
Yeah, right.
And this is, everybody's already kind of comparing it to it, but this is so much better than the formation of the Wolf Pack.
Yes, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The firing squad makes so much more. I don't even remember why Kevin Nash got so mad he branched off in the NWO. I don't even remember what happened.
Yeah.
But Tama Tonga and Haku, the Gorillas of Destiny and Haku, just saying, like, I am the Bullet Club. And you don't, like I said, you don't get to have this conversation about leadership.
Right.
I am the leader. You don't even realize. And I think it's compelling. And like I said, it's not Hulk Hogan dropping a leg on Randy Savage and everybody go, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
You know what I mean? I woke up on the ceiling. You know what I mean? Because
that is what happened.
The world just flipped upside down. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan.
Like the music died. Hogan dropped the leg. Same thing.
Right. Exactly. And so it's not that. But what it is WWE cruising along going, whatever, we got you. This is what it is. There's no,
right,
you know, what are you going to do? Watch somebody else? And then people all of a sudden go, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And look, this will pass because if they've learned anything from the NWO, this story will be no more than 6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get us through the end of the year, maybe into Wrestle Kingdom.
Right.
As the payoff. And then we move on. So I'm not saying like this is the new normal, but as WWE cruises along and there's a lot of people out there that go, we're not satisfied. We're tuning out. I'm watching people on Twitter go, I didn't even watch SmackDown. I'm not interested. Blah, 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 blah. Well, now, over here, New Japan, that show gave you a title change that you cared about with Juice Robinson.
Yep.
That show gave you compelling tag team work. That match, I mean, guy, he broke his neck, but I mean, some
Hermamu.
Exactly. Some incredible things. And on top of the fact that Kenny and Cody were terrific, and then the Bullet Club is split in two. And
yeah,
we've talked about this before. Well, don't compare everything to Raw. Fine. But at one point, I'm going to start comparing the body of work of New Japan to the body of work of WWE. And right now, one of them is, at least I think we can all agree, far more interesting. I don't want to use words like better or worse.
No, because that's not accurate.
Right.
It's got to be... It's WWE is currently not telling compelling storylines. Because you look at Dolph Ziggler, right? Guys, I need you to hire a continuity director. Because the last time that we saw Dolph Ziggler, right, over the past couple of years. He was going to wrestle for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam.
He did.
And he did. And he was going to do it. And if he didn't win, it was going to confirm how he was the biggest loser to ever lose and be a loser that loses. Right?
At anything.
And then he lost.
Yep.
And it's like, well, all right, where do we go from here? And then all of a sudden, he came back because it was like, I don't care about flashy entrances. I'm the best wrestler. And he wins the United States Championship and then just leaves.
Yep.
And then he just comes back. And they don't tell me why that happened
right.
at all.
Yep.
And then, for some reason, he's hanging out with Drew McIntyre, and I'm now led to believe that your real motivation is you don't like these kids. And these kids aren't good enough.
But that can't be their shared opinion, because McIntyre all the time says that the people from NXT are coming up and are going to be taking over the promotion, and all these guys in WWE have been kicking. Like, his whole social media campaign is the main roster's been got too comfortable, and the NXT guys are here to take your spot if you're not willing to fight for it. So if Dolph Ziggler's mad at the kids, well, his partner isn't. So what the hell's going on?
Right.
And I like McIntyre, and I like Ziggler, and I like what they're doing, the bell rings, but you're right, it's like, who are you people? Why are you hanging out together?
And aside from a fluky victory, like, you beat Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental title, what is the story outside of that? I don't know. Yeah, WWE needs to choose what they want.
I just feel like we used to plan ahead a little bit further than Dolph will beat Rollins because, and then probably Rollins will win it back because, and then we'll forget it happened and we move on, and it's just, you know,
we're gonna have a 30 minute Iron Man match.
Gone are the days where, like, it was like Jericho and Angle and Benoit and and like just these three guys that are, you know,
Here's the thing, gone are the days, and look, the story was nonsense, but it was flushed out between Eddie Guerrero, Dominic, and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Right? Look, that's utter nonsense that we can have, like, a child's, like, welfare in a briefcase above a ring. So that's nonsense. But that storyline is memorable. We remember that story. We remember Eddie Guerrero coming out and be like, nah, really? Dominic's my kid. And, like, I want to be his dad now. And Rey, you know? And so it's like, that we don't even have stories like that.
So, Justin, New Japan also isn't every week. 5 hours a week, so it feels special when it comes back. Justin says, I'm not saying Raw shouldn't be every week. I'm just saying New Japan has that advantage. And Matt King agrees, exactly. New Japan doesn't pile two shows a week. And you guys are 100% right. And I'm glad you said that, because it just expounds on the point I wanted to say, you know, based on what you said. So here's the thing about, like, let's look, because, again, I don't want to be a smarky jerk, and I'm not here to use the words better or worse. Even if I have to use them every once in a while, I'm not trying to make grand sweeping statements about WWE being worse than New Japan or New Japan being better than anything like that.
Yeah, right.
Okay? It's just going to be, you know, kind of point for point. And so you're right that WWE has to put on a lot more content. They have many more hours per month to fill.
Right.
Absolutely. So what I'm saying is, but let's look at the G1 alone. And I only really, because Chris Jericho wasn't there to extend the Intercontinental program, right? Juice Robinson and Switchblade had a story, because everybody does, but I don't think it's this epic drama unfolding.
No.
Right? So what I'm saying is the G1, let's look at it isolated. There was a night full of some awesome wrestling and then a pivotal storyline you'll remember and want to watch the next show for.
Right.
So what I'm asking for is not for a three-hour Raw with 11 matches, all of which are come with a deeply complex story.
Yeah.
What I'm asking for is a show with one thing that's big that makes me watch week to week because I want to see what's happening. There's no one thing.
I talk about this whenever pilot season comes, right? And whenever pilot season comes, and it's, you know, it's usually the fall, right? New shows, brand new, right? The pilot of a TV show has one job, and that's
land the plane.
Yeah, that's so true. It's to get me to episode two.
Yes.
That is it. It does not have to tell me, it doesn't have to set up a million things.
Yeah.
that is going to get paid off in season five. No. Pilot episode needs to get me from episode one to episode two.
Yep.
And WWE, if you're going to book week to week, you need to plan the thing that gets me from that week's episode to the next week's episode. Because if that was the go-home show to Extreme Rules, I don't care about Extreme Rules. You did nothing to get me to want to actually watch Extreme Rules. And shame on you.
Yeah, and that is how I look at it, is the one central plot point. Like, the examples I'll give are, I don't remember what was happening on Raw. I'm sure Val Venus and Ken Shamrock were fighting over his sister, or all these little subplots. And I'm not even asking the WWE to get back to the days where Val Venus would fight Shamrock for nothing at 8:30, and they still had a story, yeah. Right? I'm not even gonna be greedy.
But that's the thing. That's the one thing I agree with about Vince Russo. Me and Vince Russo agree about this one thing. Everybody should have a story.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, but I'm going to be less greedy and pull away from that and just ask for the fact that in 99, what I remember is The Undertaker had begun to form an evil group, start to talk about grand speculation of an even more higher power than him that was in charge of the whole operation.
Yeah.
And they got weeks out of that. And again, if you like Val Venus and Ken Shamrock, there's a reason to care about why they're on TV too. But the overarching big reason to watch
right. This
episode of Raw is, what's the latest development with what the Undertaker's got going on?
Stone Cold. Everything was Stone Cold, where it's like, yeah, maybe Triple H and DX are running around telling everybody to suck it, and that's a ton of fun, and it's great, and we're going to get fun moments out of that. But you care about, how is Vince McMahon going to screw over Stone Cold Steve Austin this week?
And so, again, I'm going to pull back from the greed, and if we need to live in a world where Jeff Hardy is mad at Shinsuke Nakamura just because, we're not even trying to be clever and tell you that was Jeff Hardy's dog, right? They're just fighting because, fine, okay?
Sure.
But I wish SmackDown had, like, this story. Maybe a lockbox, but you know what I'm saying. Right. But you know what I'm saying here, where, like...
Well, it's how about the WWE's title? You don't have a top story on Raw. Right? Because Brock Lesnar's not there, we're not talking about him.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't have an A story. That's why your show sucks. You don't have an A story. You have a bunch of B stories,
yep. But
you don't have an A story. And so
Roman Reigns is trying his best with Bob Lashley. And I actually think Roman Reigns is doing a good job.
Right.
He's been given a whole pile of crap and asked to be made a gourmet meal.
Yeah.
And I think Roman Reigns is doing as good as anybody could be given the circumstances.
The match also changed from what it was supposed to be. 3 weeks ago, this was supposed to be a five-way or something to be the number one contender for SmackDown. But then Brock isn't at SummerSlam, so now it's Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns.
Yep.
And it's like, that's not an A story.
Matt brings up a great point. Even when they do try to give you a story, does anybody know why Braun Strowman doesn't like Kevin Owens so much?
No. He's just picking on him.
Why does he hate him? No idea. Why is the babyface bullying some random heel who, just because it's fun for the bad guy to watch his car get flipped over? And I'm not here in a soapbox talking about bullying, because I think when 200-300-pound men who agree to be in a fighting promotion use the word bully, it kind of makes me roll my eyes pretty hard, if I'm being honest with you,
it's not.
The point where if you think Kevin Owens is being bullied when, I mean... Yeah. Bullying's a real thing, you know what I mean? And it's not what happens when two fighters go like, I'm better than you, and it's just me sad.
Well, and it's like, this is a refreshing take on the I don't want to fight you, so now we have to have a steel cage match, right? We had to get it. This is why gimmick pay-per-views suck too.
Right, so getting back to trying to spin this thing in a positive direction.
Right.
Because the reasons why Raw I don't think is very good right now go on and on and on. So what I would rather talk about is... the things that are going well in pro wrestling, right? And the alternatives. Starting with, we've talked a lot about New Japan, and I'm sure we'll circle back to New Japan.
Yeah, sure.
Because the G1 was great, but I also don't...
And the G1 is actually starting.
I don't want to fall into a trap of being somebody on the internet that just goes, New Japan is better, blah, 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 because they're also not perfect, and they are a very different promotion from WWE. And it needs to be said during any of these conversations that New Japan... and WWE are very different and not trying to be one another, right?
Yeah, right.
That's TNA.
Right. Something that is controlled by WWE that in a way I guess is trying to be WWE but isn't, and which makes it great, is NXT.
Right.
I think what's happening in NXT, there's two things I want to spotlight right now because they're worth talking about. We never talk about them, and there's this great quote in Airheads, right, where they're at the radio station and they flip through all the albums.
Yeah.
And they go, why don't you play these? They're awesome. And he goes, if they're so awesome, why aren't they hits? He goes, because you don't play them, so how could they become hits?
Right.
And so no one's talking about these two things, including us, so let's start. I think NXT is great right now. And I think 205 Live has been outstanding lately.
Yeah, ever since. And you know
why are WWE things under their control so much better than the two products that are supposed to be the focal point?
Do you know why? Because there's a through line between those. There's a man that's in charge of the two of them, and there's a man that's in charge of the other two.
Okay, you're talking about
Triple H,
Santa Claus.
Yeah, I'm talking about Santa Claus. Triple H is in charge of NXT.
Yep.
And 205 Live.
Is it that simple?
It is that simple. It has to be. At some
it certainly
point,
is a common denominator.
At some point, the lowest common denominator has to be the truth. And the truth is that Vince has final say on Raw and SmackDown,
yep,
and they blow. And Triple H has final say on 205 Live and NXT, and they are amazing.
There's a lot.
He also has control over the UK nonsense.
There's a lot of things that are good under their control, and we're going to talk about the things that are floating around in the world of pro wrestling that are great, the things that we're talking about that WWE can learn from and utilize in their own programming to get out of this ratings bunker. We're going to talk about all of those things when the New Age Insiders return. We will be right back. Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
On 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email. NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com. That's NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Makowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie J. Makowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie J. Makowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam. Show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAI Pod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Moltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
It's been interesting because 205 Live has been such a, like, it was the butt of so many jokes when it started.
Yeah.
Well, it was bad.
It was bad. And then
Enzo Amore is also just a detestable human being. Do you see those shorts?
No.
He released a pair of shorts, and on the ass is the like the shit emoji because he's you know, just charming. And on the front it says consensual. And it's just like, you are such a douche.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's all sorts of other words for it because he's, it's just, it's like, I don't know. I've talked about this before, that I'm very honest with you, and as a white guy, I get offended rarely. Like, I get upset about things and understand social injustices, but the word offended, I'm still not, but like, you look at that and you're like, dude, you're gross.
Yeah, right.
You're gross. You got accused of rape, and instead of being like, thank God my name was cleared, you're like, somehow making it into some like a gimmick and just,
well,
like,
you're flaunting it.
Ugh,
and
just, like,
that's not okay.
Just, I mean, gross. You know what I mean? Just what a terrible human being. And it's not unfair to point out the fact that the show got better when he got fired. Quite frankly.
Well, because again, unfair. Before the break, I said it, but he gets fired and then Vince goes, Hunter, this is your mess now.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And also fitting your narrative too, I don't know if you listened to the show with Enzo on Steve Austin's podcast, but Vince was very high on Enzo. Triple H was not.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me at all because Triple H seems to be a better modern evaluator of talent. There, I said it.
Yeah.
I don't think, and I know you're not doing that either, I don't think it's fair in WWE just to say if it was good, it was Hunter, if it was bad, it was Vince.
Yeah, because that's nonsensical too.
Right. It's definitely more of, instead of it being red or blue, it's usually a shade of purple. You know what I mean?
My big thing when it comes to the two of them is that Hunter appears to have long-term visions because he understands how wrestling works in 2018.
Uh-huh.
It's clear by that takeover. Now, he knows how to connect with the audience the way it currently is constituted. Vince got through the Attitude Era. He had the issue with Benoit and then immediately reverted back to the pre-Attitude Era WWE.
I think he wanted to just provide content that was completely void of anything that could be reasonably construed as controversy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, right.
You know, you've talked about it before, how Muhammad Hassan just had to go away. We're not even going to kick around the idea of having you be a bad guy that succeeds to play off the climate. We are going to be void of controversy.
Right.
And quite frankly, that led them to be pretty boring.
And that's where they are now.
And what they've relied on is individual performances.
Right.
Because the stories aren't there. Like, I've said it before. I think that The Shield, right, are an incredible collection of talent, okay? Because, and I mean this, they all worked so well together. You know me. Yeah. I am not high on Dean Ambrose. But Dean Ambrose was an integral and important part because he's the strongest talker they had by far.
Right.
Seth Rollins was the guy that was willing to jump off stuff and outperform everybody physically. Yeah. Roman Reigns had the size that none of them had. And when Roman Reigns was the guy delivering these big spears.
And he was just quiet and just destroying people.
Big spears, the guy delivering the power, part of the power bomb. You know what I mean?
Right.
He was an important part of the group. And as a group, their matches were fun. And so I'm not about to shit on The Shield, because they were great. Who doesn't think they were great? But what I'll say from a nerd perspective is they weren't well done creatively.
No.
They just showed up in turtlenecks. They kept like little things. I know I'm about to nitpick, but here I go, right?
Yeah, right.
The name is horrible. Why are you The Shield? That's already the name of a popular comic book thing, of
a television show.
A cop drama. Why are you The Shield? What a terrible name for that group. And then they come out and they go, we shield the company from injustice. And I go, oh my God, they're going to be the Nexus, right. But they're going to beat Cena because they're like, enough is enough. No, they're like, they thought shielding us against Injustice was beating up Ryback, which don't get me wrong. Thanks.
Totally on board.
Had a good time watching Ryback go through tables and such. But that wasn't an Injustice. You didn't go after Vince. You know what I mean? Like, and so.
And you like sort of worked for CM Punk, but we never talked about it.
But in reality, they didn't at all. Right. And I think they only did in his mind. But that's a whole other conversation. Because I know for a concrete fact, and I've said this before to our Patreons, and now I'll tell everybody, the man that came up with the idea for the Shield and pitched it to Rollins, who pitched it to Creative, for those three guys to work together in the and like as a SWAT team, was Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know that. I know that for a fact. The guy that came up with the idea for the three of them specifically and the SWAT gimmick was Bray Wyatt. Not anyone else. Whatever. But so... Please don't think that I'm burying the Shield, because what they were doing was the best part of WWE programming by far. But I bring them up for a reason, because they relied so much on their performances, because creatively, quite frankly, they were dumb and almost completely unexplained.
Right.
Because what WWE has become, and we've talked about this a million times, is they're just buzzwords and nicknames. Buzzwords and nicknames. And so... We are the Shield, and we shield the company from injustice.
Right.
How? You know what I mean?
How? Why? Right.
You're just kind of cool because of how you look, and I like you. You know what I mean? But that wasn't a story. Now, they're relying on what? The performances?
Yeah.
Okay, but you neuter the performances.
Right, and you don't put the people that perform the best at the highest spots.
So... Knowing that the number one answer I think you've already given, and I totally understand, but just for the sake of having a deeper conversation, the reason that 205 Live and NXT are so much better are Hunter. But why?
Because
what are the tangible reasons?
Well, and I just mentioned it earlier, and it's because the long-term planning of storylines, right? The reason why Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano was able to be so good leading into WrestleMania weekend is because we spent virtually a 6 to 8 months getting there. These two hate each other. They're screwing. Tommaso's just screwing Johnny over and over again. Then the match happens and they're still messing with each other because it's not over, because they're characters that are reacting in a real environment. Right? That's probably the most important thing, is that these wrestlers don't lose and then just go, oh, well, and just leave and go on to something else. There's reasons why they're acting the way they do. So in a match that was in Chicago that everybody was like, why is this happening again? Why is it happening again? Oh, this was even better the next time.
Right. So with WWE doing that, because again, that is why I bring up the Shield, because then there's this what if, right? What if the idea of the Shield was with three lesser talents? And what if it didn't take off? Because it was never going to be a phenomenon creatively.
Right.
Because they never did the things they said. It was just you wound up really liking Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And I think they've hit a wall. Where they relied so much on, like, what? Look, we built a super team. What more do you want? And I think what people want is something like what New Japan gave you, which is, like, look, you know, pound for pound, WWE's roster is much better than New Japan's.
So much better.
You know what I mean? Pound for pound, guy for guy, like, Okada, fine. Okada, I'll give you Seth Rollins. And maybe Okada's better, but I think we can agree they're kind of close, right? Or AJ Styles. And then you go to Tanahashi, and I'll raise you John Cena. Then you're going to go to Cody Rhodes, and I'm going to raise you, you know, whichever one you didn't want before. Seth Rollins or, you know what I mean?
Finn.
Then I'll raise you Finn Balor.
Kenny Omega.
Right, you got Kenny Omega, and I got Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then when we get to the second shelf, my second shelf is
so much better. Because you have Juice Robinson... You have Juice Robinson, because Dolph Ziggler, Naito.
Because like, let's say, you know, we're going back and forth here. Let's say that Kevin Owens is as good as Naito, but Dolph Ziggler is better than Switchblade. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is better than Jay White. And, you know, like...
Baron Corbin is better than Jay White.
And, you know, and Cesaro is better
than Hermamu.
Sure, we can go down. Yeah. So it's not about that. But what I'm saying is, if WWE was going, okay, look, we're not going to tell you great stories because for some reason that is no longer a great priority. But we've assembled the greatest roster in the world, and every night they get to go out there and do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, right.
But, like, I look at these guys, and it's not even about balls-to-the-wall matches. I'm not talking about, you know, dragon suplexes that break guys' necks every week. No, I don't want that any week, but I'm not asking them to do that. I understand their workload and 200 matches a year. Gotcha. We've talked about that. But what I'm asking for is just, like, you know, the creativity. These guys are reading lines, reciting lines. It feels like they're reciting lines.
Yeah.
What happened to wrestling promos? Like, I swear to God, what happened to somebody backstage, and then you can tell somebody witty and funny and engaging just cut a wrestling promo, and that was it. Where did that go?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because you're so... Well, and this is the thing, and maybe this is the real answer underneath Hunter, right? WWE is afraid to be a wrestling show.
Yeah, they don't want to be.
And 205 Live and NXT are wrestling shows. That's the answer. That might be the other answer.
So Vince McMahon at one point, for the sake of being way overly simplistic, Vince McMahon never wanted to run NXT. That was always for Hunter's little project, right?
Right.
He did want to run 205.
Yes.
It started to bomb. And Vince went, well, if I'm going to juggle balls, I'm going to juggle Raw and SmackDown, not all three.
Yeah,
you can
right.
have 205. Now that we are, even with asterisks involved, at the lowest rated Raw in history,
yeah,
does Vince begin to rely on Hunter for the big two shows now?
I don't think he will.
Me neither.
I don't think he will, because that's not the man that I've been presented. The man I've been presented is... he's going to run this thing till the day he dies. He's going to go down with his idea,
yep.
then succeed with yours.
Vince is going to die on a Wednesday. He's going to schedule it just so he makes sure he doesn't miss Raw and SmackDown.
Right, and it's like, look, I would assume at this point in the game, this point in the game, Hunter, as on a personal level, his other son. Right? Like, I feel like we've gotten to that point where it's
if rumors were true, we'd probably spend a good chunk of years spending more time with him than Shane by a mile.
Right.
Shane kind of just went to China and went, like, screw all you.
Yeah, right. But you know what I mean? Like, his personal relationship with Vince McMahon has reached a level where it's like, you're the husband of my daughter. Like, you're my son-in-law.
You're the father of my grandchildren.
You're the father of my grandchildren. Like, on a personal level, I really like you and respect you. But... yeah, I don't think he's going to just hand over the keys while he's alive.
Well, me neither. And I'm not talking about relinquishing control. I'm talking about asking for actual advice, then listening and applying it.
See, the issue is that the only things that that I would think that he has control over, like Hunter has like direct control over, is his own nonsense.
Yeah, maybe.
Because look at what ends up happening. You know, say what you want about Hunter and the shovels and all that stuff, but
they're true.
The past 4 years, right? What have maybe 3 years? We'll talk about 3 years, right? But what has been the best parts of the WrestleMania, right? Because the WrestleManias haven't been great, and his story, his individual storylines, have been good.
In some ways, the only stories at all.
In some ways, the only stories at all.
Because we're not telling stories with
Lesnar. No, because right. But it's like, you go into WrestleMania 31, and his thing with Sting. Now, the ultimate payoff of that was the NWO and DX and all that crazy nonsense, but yeah, it was this icon versus icon sort of situation. Then, 32. Yeah, he did his damnedest to try and, you know, walk in and make you hate him to beat Roman Reigns. Now, I think that we're not going to talk about Roman Reigns, but that's a story for a different day. They tried.
He tried.
There was a story there.
And Dylan said, yeah, you're right. And it's the right. best part
and
of the program.
33, he wrestled
Rollins.
And the whole story was, I'm going to basically put this kid over because because Triple H was gone, right?
And Rollins didn't go, I'm in charge. Rollins, I mean, that was a year and a half ago, and Seth Rollins has, hasn't even been actually really close to a heavyweight title since.
Because the story is you're my protege and I'm going to destroy you because I created you. Oh, whoops, I didn't do it. And then he went away. Like, Hunter goes away. And now it goes back to being Vince's project because it's Vince's show on the Monday after Raw. And now we're at Seth Rollins and nothing's going on. Then last year, Stephanie McMahon, Hunter, Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle. Best match of the night.
It was. Yeah. Being there live, that was the most entertaining match there was. Dylan says that Bray Wyatt's better than CM Punk. First of all, I think that might be true. But the biggest thing is, let's talk about Bray Wyatt, right? And we see that Maddie's listening, so let's talk about Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is capable of being, like, because here's the thing about WWE. Bray Wyatt's a great talking point, I think, because WWE is in this weird place where they've transitioned into kind of wanting to be a legitimized product more than they've ever cared about being. More real names. Colby Lopez isn't the architect. He's Seth Rollins. The nickname is the architect, right? Etc. And so, like, what WWE, I think, is this weird thing is they don't want to be overly silly.
Yeah.
But what wrestling fans, because, like, they look at, like, let's look at, again, it's Bray Wyatt, right? They're afraid to go, Bray Wyatt is a spooky, haunted voodoo man from the woods, and he's going to bring his dark woods magic to the company. And they're afraid that the average fan is going to go, this is stupid. Meanwhile, wrestling fans everywhere forever have been like, that's great. Tell the story the right way and we're in. We've talked about this and we're joking, but we're not. I'm pretty sure Mordecai was on WWE programming for like a 45 total minutes.
Yes.
And we still, 15 years later, go, that could have been really cool.
Right.
And so we did not get introduced to Mordecai and go, this is stupid. What are you, just the opposite?
The Undertaker.
Right.
Leading up to that, I was on this show screaming about how much I hated it. And then I saw Spooky Wrestle Lightning Magic, and I was like, ah!
The Undertaker debuted in 1992, 1991.
90,
right? And so, you know, and everybody's going, The Undertaker, right. The reason I didn't bring up The Undertaker is because The Undertaker debuted in 1990, around...
And we were still doing silly nonsense.
Everybody had a job, and wrestling was at its all-time kookiest, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about kind of modern wrestling, although The Undertaker's a great example because fans have not gone... It's not like, oh, man, yeah, right, Purple Lightning. No, people got a kick out of that.
Yeah.
So when it's done well, wrestling fans are willing to go all in on it. I know that I've looked at Bray Wyatt, right? And that dude's match quality is super high, right? His matches are almost always very good.
Yeah.
He's almost always very good in them. Bray Wyatt, pro wrestler, very talented. And Bray Wyatt, the character, when it's cranked to 10 and not like, you know who the best actors are in like live theater? The ones that don't give a shit what you think. Because if you're nervous and being like, oh, I don't want to look stupid, you're going to be all stiff. If you're just like, Fosco, like, I brought a skull. Everything I read is on a scroll.
Yeah.
And you're like, look. Theater, you know what
right.
I mean, and, and that, you know what I mean.
Yep.
And so when Bray Wyatt's like, "I am from the woods. I have brought black magic with me here.
Yeah, voodoo magic.
There's some haunted nun, Girl Scout troop leader, woods lady, right? Yeah. And she
might be the devil. Who knows?
Messed me up, and I don't know what she did to me, but it stuck.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody was in on Sister Abigail Bray Wyatt.
Yep. Kane.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm the Undertaker's burn brother. You know how the Undertaker's been around for like almost 10 years now, and I'm his burned brother here for revenge. Everybody went, oh, good. This will be good. This will be fun.
No. He doesn't want to hit him because it's his brother, but his brother's evil.
Wrestling fans don't go like, Abyss worked. That was, you know what I mean? Because you tried and we're okay with it. And so like Bray Wyatt's a great example because Bray Wyatt is, Bray Wyatt, my dearest Liam.
Oh God.
I have traveled back in time.
We don't have time for this.
To tell you legend of my great-great-grandson.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bray Wagner Wyatt. He changed his name at Ellis Island, even though we were in the American Civil War. Don't ask.
Yeah.
We used to be Wagner. It's Wyatt now. And Liam, I must admit
so
that you're
from the past to be the future?
Now I'm in the future to tell you I am from the past in your present to tell you about the future.
God damn it.
And let me tell you something about my dear great-great-grandson.
Yeah.
He's great. And my great-grandson, he brought Spook Dookie magic all the way to the World Wrestling Entertainment. And one day, they said, Bray, instead of you trying to take over the world, even though you tried to main event the WrestleManias, and you did, what you're going to do now is you're going to stand next to Matthew Hardy, and you're going to do a bad impression of him. And so not only are you no longer scary,
you're weird,
but you're sort of dumb.
Yeah.
And I worry for you.
Yeah.
My foot is a gangrenous green. A gangrenous green.
Oh, very fun.
I got shot with a nail.
You stepped on a nail?
No, I got shot with a nail.
How?
We ran out of bullets.
So you just put a nail in
some goddamn Yankee.
Yeah, that sucks.
And as I tell you, from the deepest recesses of my mind, what you should be very afraid of is the year 2019, the year of our Lord, when Bray Wyatt begins to hang out with Gold Dust. And you're going to think, oh, that might be fun. Tell me more about Bray Wyatt and Gold Dust. And it is not. It is not fun.
Oh, jeez.
Not the kind of fun that you would like from the spookiest character that
since
ever did roam these plains.
All right.
So I pen you
from this letter up.
Future's present's past as I tell you that Bray Wyatt and Gold Dust will be
tag team champions?
The second ever women's tag team champions. And you might think that might be fun.
But it's not.
And you would be sadly mistaken.
That makes sense.
Well, I hope you have a wonderful time watching the programming when WWE gets canceled in 2027 and then picked up on the Family Guy Network.
In the History Channel.
The Family Guy Network.
Which is a thing in the future.
All right, salutations.
God bless the American way. In whatever side of this war I'm on.
Yeah.
I fought for the East.
You're in Vermont. You fought for Vermont.
There were so many people fighting for the North and the South. I chose the East.
Yeah, okay.
I fought.
Yeah, it would have been weirder if you fought for the West because I'm pretty sure the West hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, some people wanted to
It's the East side of whatever team's winning.
Yeah, all I wanted to own was exotic parakeets.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was as big a deal to go to war over.
But you had to get involved because of a treaty?
And much more contained. Sincerely.
Dr.
Yours truly.
Dr. Chester Puff Wagner. Or whatever my name is.
Well, right. I'm glad we did that.
But Bray Wyatt, real quick before we go, but Bray Wyatt is a great example of that because now Bray Wyatt, who I do love, and I mean it, now he's standing next to Matt Hardy acting all silly. We never made The Undertaker
silly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's this great clip. It was dark, too, so they could have got away with it, right? It was after the show had gone off the air. And it was everybody... It was Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, The Rock, and they were in the ring. And they're like, Undertaker and Booker T. And they're like, Undertaker, you're going to do a Spinneroonie. And it was American Badass Undertaker. And they're like, you're going to do a Spinneroonie. And you can tell that he like thought about it.
He like wanted to.
And then like really, you know, like he thought about it, right? And then he just didn't.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You could tell he was just like, no. I'm the fucking Undertaker.
Yeah.
I'm not doing a Spinneroonie.
Right.
Is Flip here?
Did missiles just launch onto the NAI studios?
Yeah, I didn't mean to play that.
I didn't even know we had missiles. See, I altered the timeline and brought back to the Civil War.
Patriot?
I brought bazookas.
Yeah, of course.
That's why it's the alternate timeline when if the little children go, who won the Civil War?
The answer is the East.
And children, you can own all the exotic parakeets your heart desires.
Yeah, right.
They don't even need cages. They can just go around
and roam free.
Pooping all over your docile.
Yeah, domicile.
And you can thank the great American East. For your
American East.
For your freedom. But you know what I mean? Because they're just, even the people that they're like, you can be a character. It's like, they don't even do it right.
Yeah.
Did right. I lost track of my point.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll just wrap this up.
Thank you, Dr. Chester Puff Wagner. The great, yeah. Oh, no. I don't know how they're related.
Chester Puffcorn.
Is it Chester Puff? I thought it was Chester Puff Wagner.
It was Chester Puffcorn.
Chester Puffcorn.
Chester Puff.
Chester PC Wagner.
Chester Puffcorn.
Yeah, PC Wagner.
Chester PC Wagner.
Chester Michael P.S. Wagner.
This is a great, 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 great pappy. Yeah, Dusty
Rhodes. Let me tell you one thing about Michael P.S.A.'s. He most certainly fought for the South.
Yeah.
All right?
Of course he did.
That man would still, I think, give it one more go if he saw a group forming around him. He's like, well, let's try one more time.
Yeah.
I really like those stupid-ass statues. Thank you so much for joining the New Age. Oh, just before we go, because we didn't come to any logical conclusion.
No, we didn't.
Will Raw improve and how quickly?
It will. It will eventually. I mean, they only care about the big shows now. So.
Yeah. And ironically, the big show retired.
Yeah.
I think that the problem here, and we didn't have time to talk about it. We'll talk about it on the Patreon edition. That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
Because now the rumor is, here's a big tease. Now the rumor is they're considering doing two WrestleManias. So we're going to talk. We talked about it in Molotov in the morning, but of course we'd rather talk about the three of you and everybody and all the Patreons. So the idea that you have the audacity, sir, to tell me we're going to do two WrestleManias when you can't give me one good SmackDown is offensive.
Offensive.
So we'll talk about the
senses.
We'll talk about the two WrestleManias that might be coming down the horizon and a whole lot more on the Patreon exclusive edition. There's 5 bonus episodes every single month and a whole lot more that you get every day by being a Patreon. You can sign up today on newageinsiders.com. We welcome all of you and we thank you very much for the support. It goes a long way and we hope that you guys are enjoying the coverage that we have throughout the summer. We won't be phoning it in as we go to All In and one of the biggest events in independent wrestling's history, as well as one of the biggest things that we will be a part of. And we're super excited on September 1st. We will be keeping track of Flip Gordon's journey toward the NWA world title and at least the match that could potentially secure his position
at All In.
So we'll be keeping an eye on Flip's journey. And as Flip gets closer to the opportunity to win his first really major world heavyweight championship, we will keep an eye on that as well. And we'll see what the future has in store for All In. But you know that we were going to be providing the kind of coverage that only the New Age Insiders can. Again, a huge shout out to our Patreons. Thank you guys so much for all that you do. We will see you on that edition. You doing Late Night Liam?
I am.
Late Night Liam is coming, so if you're listening live like you should be every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on newageinsiders.com and twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV, you're going to keep it right here for Late Night Liam. Then we record the Patreon exclusive show talking about the idea of how two WrestleManias would just be a disaster when they can't even get the programming that they have now right.
I know.
We hope you enjoyed. My name's been Liam. No, it isn't. I'm Jason Malta.
I am Liam Stryker.
And I'm Chester Puff Wagner.
And I'm Chester Puff Wagner, and we are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, and please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. Like, follow, subscribe, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, all of those fun platforms. And thank you for making us the premier place in the East for the wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.